bond. Thank you.
Good morning. Bon dia. Bonjour. Mari Mari Peigne. Mabudipum. Mabudipum. Any, whatever your language is, welcome and thank you for the invitation to come. I enjoy 16th and I enjoy each and every one of you and I pray for a lot of you. I do have your photo prayer album at home and I do go through it and I do pray for you often. So this morning we have a very interesting message, but a very difficult message. And I'm certainly talking to myself and I'll explain that as we go along. So this morning we're going to be talking about how to live out your faith. Each and every one of you here, probably most of you, if not all of you, I hope all of you, if you're not, I'd love to talk to you after about it. But if you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your faith and trust in Him. And what we're going to look at now is scripture that's a little difficult. In Luke chapter 17. So turn with me, please, in your Bibles or on your electrical device. Turn to Luke chapter 17, and we're going to be studying verses 1 to 10. Only 10 verses because it's packed full with teaching to help us along. And I'm not going to read it myself. I'm going to read it in a few minutes. Have someone read it to me. But it's a very interesting 10 verses. And we will look at verse 2 right now, though. It would be better to be thrown into the sea with a millstone hung around your neck than to cause one of these little ones to fall into sin. And the reason I put that up, I'm sure we don't all know what a millstone is. So that's what is called a millstone. So when we listen to it being read to us and we're following along in our Bibles, you'll understand what a millstone is. And then as you read along a little bit later, you'll find other things that we're going to be talking about because we're going to be talking about a mustard seed. Now maybe some of you don't know what a mustard seed is. It's smaller than a piece of rice. And we all know what rice is. I love white rice. But this is what a mustard seed looks like. So when you listen to it in a few seconds, you'll understand what the mustard seed is. So please follow along and we'll see if this is going to work. And please follow along in your Bibles. Is it going to work? Well, maybe it isn't going to work. Let's see.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied round their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble."
Verse 3.
Watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times come back to you saying, "I repent," you must forgive them. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you."
Verse 7.
Suppose one of you has a servant plowing, looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, "Come along now and sit down to eat"? Won't he rather say, "Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink"? After that, you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty."
May the Lord Lord, add blessing to the public reading of his scriptures, and he will. We find that before chapter 17 and chapter 16, Jesus had taught the disciples and the Pharisees that they must have the same love and compassion for the lost as Jesus did. We find that in chapter 16. And then he teaches us also that you can't serve God and money. You can only have one master. And he also taught the disciples and the Pharisees they must act in compassion towards the poor. And that's so wonderful what you did yesterday. Excuse me, I don't come here regularly, unfortunately. But that was wonderful what you did. And that's what we're talking about. And that's what the scripture's talking about, is taking care of the poor down at Union Gospel Mission. So that was absolutely phenomenal. And also we're going to find out that we have to live out, we have to sort of practice what we've learned from the scriptures. We have the Holy Spirit in us. When you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, he gave you a gift of a person inside of you who is referred to as the Holy Spirit, a real person. And he helps us. He guides us. He illuminates us. Sometimes he gives us a kick in the pants, which we need. Maybe you don't, but I sure do. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But it's real. It's not a fairy tale or some thing up in the air. It's true. So he will help us live out his faith if we are obedient to him and if we listen to him. And we will learn from this scripture that within the body of Christ, we must be careful not to lead others into sin. Very interesting. Very difficult. But we're going to talk about that. Be careful not to lead others into sin. And then we're going to be talking about how to hold Christians accountable and be willing to help them to be accountable. Now, these are two things that are very difficult, especially today. We learn that in the society, everybody wants to be an individual. Where I live in East Vancouver. And I know when any of my neighbors are coming home, I never see them. The door will open at the garage. They'll go in. The door will close. It's impossible to talk to them. They're individuals. They go home and they sit down and they watch the television and they watch all of the wonderful things that you can watch or listen to that are even good, but you can't talk to them. You can't converse with them. But we in the Church of Christ, we part of the body of Christ. I am responsible for you and you're responsible for me. And that's going to be hard to understand as we look into this. And I have to be careful what I do, what I say, where I go, because it could harm another Christian who might be younger in the faith. So we're going to talk about these things. We have to be freely, forgive freely. We have to forgive one another. And we have to be obedient and interact with God in love. So this is a lot to take in 20 minutes. But I think we can do it. And you can also reread this at home and study and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. He is so real. As I read this chapter, I got slapped in the face a few times. I'm talking figuratively in this case. God spoke to me because it's a hard thing to practice. It's easier to preach. I'm preaching it, but I'm not preaching it at you. I'm preaching it at myself. I'm talking to myself, Ron. So are you ready? Let's get into the scriptures then. We have to learn to be obedient to God's word. We will learn this. And if we have three things: obedience, worship, and salvation. That's what we have in this passage, which is so real. We have to be obedient to the Word of God. And as we are obedient to the Word of God, we see in this chapter, verses 1 to 10, as we're obedient, we will worship God and He will give us His salvation. It's a free gift. What does God expect of us? Have you ever wondered why we're here on earth? I've had a rough week. I've been in palliative care 4 times this week, not for myself, but for other people. I was there yesterday, and I went and visited this guy, and on the next room, because they're separate rooms, there's a friend of mine that's been a friend of mine for 60 years when we were kids in the neighborhood. Been a rough week. So, but why am I here? Why has God allowed me? Last time I spoke here, I told you that they took my heart out and they fixed up my heart and then they put it back in. I mean, the machine could have stopped, the electricity could have stopped, the doctor could have had hiccups or something. But I'm here today. Why am I here? Why are you here? Why are you in the health that you have? And we're going to see that. Unfortunately, the church and myself personally included, we've done a bad job in one sense. I have thrown the net out. I'm a fisher of men. I want to see people come to Jesus. I want to see people put their faith and trust. Today I was at Starbucks and I just happened to leave one of these on the table when I left. And my prayer is that someone will pick that up and read it. So I've done that okay, and the church has done that okay. But we are called to do more than that. You are called to more than that. We are called not to be just soul winners, but we are to make disciples. And that's where I've goofed. I could use lots of excuses because I was 3 years in Trois-Rivières, I was 3 years in Cap-de-la-Madeleine, I was 3 years in Rouyn-Noranda, I was 3 years in Sherbrooke, I was 6 years in Bija Maria, and I could make, but no, I have not done a good job. And I am encouraging you, and I encourage myself, that we are called of God not to be just soul winners, but to be disciple makers. And that's one reason we have the church. We can say, hey, George, come on with me to church. And they can get taught. I mean, you have such a good program here. I wouldn't be embarrassed to call any person in my neighborhood to come to 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel because there's a program here and a good program here. And I'm not just being an apple polisher saying that. I'm being truthful because I know I travel around to all the different assemblies but we are called, and we're going to see that in this chapter here, we are called to make disciples. You are called to make disciples. Making disciples is what Scripture commands us to do. That means I've got to take that fellow over to Starbucks or Tim Hortons, and I've got to put my arm around him, not touch him in Canada, but in Argentina we can, and in Bolivia you can, and many other Latin countries you can, but just put your arm there and say, you know, and share with them. Teach them. Show them by your way, your actions, and make disciples of them. This is what we're called to do. And we did not just put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to have an eternal home. We put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ because He will save us from our sins, but our sins daily. He's real. He's honest. He's up there. He's up front. And He's with us day by day helping us to walk. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that's a truth from Scripture. So salvation is just not say, okay, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's it. But that's it. No. We're saved to tell others. Don't be egoistic about your faith and your love and your happiness that you have inside of you. Share it with your neighbor. Share it with your friends. Share it with those that you go to school with. That's what God has called us to do. You know, we are in God's army. Now, I'm going to put a little clip on here that you're going to say, this is awful. We say in Spanish, enfantin. That means childish. But when I was a kid, just a few years ago. Five decades, six? Well, we won't go there. But just listen to the words here. You used to sing of this, some of you, and some of you newcomers, maybe you haven't, so you're going to enjoy this. Are you ready now? No tapping the feet, no dancing in the pews, but just enjoy this and look at the... I know that's an American flag, but that's okay. Just listen to the words. You're in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. If you've accepted Jesus, you're in the army. We have a battle in front of us. Satan is real. He's shooting his fiery darts at us 24/7. He doesn't take any rest. He takes no vacation. And we are in a battle. We are called also in the Bible, not just that we're in the army, we are called ambassadors for Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:2, it says that exactly. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak of Christ when we plead, come back to God. This is what God has called us to do. That's why we're here, because we're in his army and we're his ambassadors. He could call 10,000 angels just like that, and he could come down and evangelize the whole world in seconds. But no, he has chosen you and I to be his ambassadors. When I go to Argentina, I've been going there back and forth for 21 years now, and most people in Villa Maria, there's only 100,000 people, they think all Canadians are like me, unfortunately, because I'm the only Canadian there. So when I'm going down the street on a horse, dressed as a gaucho with my facon, my knife in the back, and they look at me, they think most Canadians are that way. But as a Christian, you also are ambassador for God. People look at you, the way you act, the way you react, the way you comport yourself, and they think Christians are that way. What do they see in you? Do they see Christ in you? Do they see Christ in me? And that's what this chapter is all about, and it's so interesting because we're going to hit some of the difficult points now. Because we are a community of faith. We are working together here at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel. We are working as a group, as an army, as ambassadors. And people are looking at you and they're saying, there's a Christian. And if that's a Christian, I don't want to have nada, rien, nothing to do with it. Is that the case sometimes? I've heard that many times. The Christians are just hypocrites. Look at so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. How are you acting and reacting in public? That's what this chapter is all about. That's what it's all about. Jesus teaches today, he teaches us how to live out our faith in a community. In a community. And it says in this chapter, which is so, don't lead others into sin. This is so true. We see it on the television sometimes. Some of sometimes, I'm not going to name them, but some of the television evangelisms that have fallen, they have dragged thousands, millions of Christians down because their life hasn't been Christian-like. People say they're Christians, and yet they're not living the life. Jesus is teaching us here to be careful about how we live, that we don't lead others into sin. And it's we have to be careful what we do, what we say, where we go. People are watching us. I'm sure those people at Starbucks watch a lot of you, because there's a young lady, well, a lady back there and another lady over there that I see always over there, and they're looking at you and they're looking at me. I'm sitting at Starbucks every time I come to 16th, and they're probably looking at me. I've got my Bible open. I've got my PowerPoint. I'm going over it. I don't do it too loud, though. I don't want to get kicked out. But you understand what I'm saying? Now, if I'm sitting there telling dirty jokes or something to somebody, or if somebody tells a dirty joke and I go, that will not be a good Christian. That would not lead people to Jesus. That would lead them away. People expect us to be different. Why don't we go there? That's because if I go there, other Christians will see that I've been a Christian for 60 years and I'm a preacher, missionary. So if Ron Edgecombe can go there, let's all go there. Are you with me? This is written to all of us. People are watching you. That's what we say in Argentina. They're watching you, careful, and we are encouraged and told not to lead others into sin. And that's what we have in our studies. Unfortunately, it's easier to think of ways we might accidentally lead others into sin. And I think we have to think on this. What are some of the ways? For instance, gossip. Well, you know, we just have to pray for so-and-so because so-and-so did this, and they did this, and they went there. We're just gossiping. Let's pray for so-and-so, punto. That's it. And if we're gossiping to this person, they're going to say, well, he's going to or she's going to gossip about me too. And that can lead people into sin. How about this one? Lies, exaggeration. Oh, you should have seen 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel this week. There was 300 people in the congregation. Sounds good, doesn't it? That's a lie. Be careful not to lie, to exaggerate. How about the TVs, movies, and music we listen to? People say, well, if they can listen to that music, I can listen to that music because that person's been a Christian for 50 years and I've just been a newborn babe in Christ for about 2 years. So if they can listen to that, or they can go to that show, or they can watch that on television. Now, I'm not saying don't. I am not negative. I'm a positive Christian. There's so many things we do, but we have to be careful. We have to watch what we do, what we say, where we go. Our language. Taking the Lord's name in vain. I used to love it when I was in shoe sales with Mr. Shepherd, and someone would say, Jesus Christ. And I said, oh, do you know him? He's my best friend. But do we say it sometimes? Do we take his name in vain? People are watching us. People are listening to us, and we have to be careful. How about sarcasm? That's another one that's quite well known. How about bad attitude? What's your attitude like? Complaining. Quejándose, we say in Spanish. We should be positive. Oh, but the taxes are too heavy. This is too big. This is no good. This is no good. That's no good. No. Let's be positive. Let's show the people around it that we're going to see a little bit later on how much we appreciate what we have and what God has given to us. Look at us. Look at you. You all look so beautiful people, all nicely dressed. And you thank God for that. Thank God for your cars outside. Sure, those things might be negative, but we don't have to be negative. We can show the world that we are different from our positiveness. Jokes. I mean, there's just so many things. How are you living? You know, the Bible says to us very, very distinctly that we are to, so watch yourselves. If anyone believes, if another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then if there is repentance, forgive him. This is hard. This is hard. I have that. Hey? Yeah. I see some of you Christians down there. Yeah, this is hard, but I have been rebuked many times in my life. And a lot of the times it's been positive. I've had to change. I've had to receive it. I can't be negative when a brother or sister has the courage. I was going to say another word, but I don't know if it's right publicly. They have the zeal to look after this guy. I was a skinny little runt, picked up off the street in East Vancouver, no parents. And I was a rambunctious little guy, and many, many times the dear brethren would put their arm around me, you know, Ron, that's not proper. You know, Ron, you know, you shouldn't do that. You know, but are we doing it? I'm not doing it today. I'm sorry, and that's wrong. I should be doing it more. We've got to help one another. Oh, but if I talk to that person, their back is going to go up and they'll not come anymore. But we can do it lovingly and kindly and patiently. I mean, just last week, as you know, I spoke here a month ago on my heart. And I found this gorgeous picture, beautiful picture of open heart surgery. So I put it into my sermon, and I spoke last Sunday at Ladner Gospel Assembly. I got home, and on Monday I had a beautiful email telling me how much they liked my message. But I had added a slide on it that offended somebody in the congregation. So you know what I did? I went to my computer, tick, delete. I can remember I used to always preach for about a year. I preached with this in my hand. Now, as you can see, I preach with this in my hand. Why? Because one Sunday, the elders got me together after the meeting, not here, and they said, Ron, you should be preaching from the Word of God. Whether they're right, whether they're wrong, it doesn't matter. They were looking after the sheep. People in the congregation, the older people, were upset. So they had the courage, which I appreciate. They had the will to come up to me and say, look at Ron, maybe you should have the Bible up there, not just the iPad. Are you with me? So when someone comes up to you and they're doing it for your good, you have to accept it. And I have to accept it. And it says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Be wise the way you live. We have to be accountable. We have to be accountable to one another. We have to be accountable to our local assembly. That's why we have elders and deacons in our local assembly. How many times the elders years ago, when I was younger, even now, once or twice recently, they've come up to me and just said, look at Ron, you know, that message was good, but maybe you could tone down a bit on that point. You understand? Are you with me? Good, good. Because we've got to grow together. And it is biblical. You can see it. When you go home, reread it. Not only does Jesus teach us that we are to be careful how we live, but we are to be helpful to our brothers and sisters, not to the people outside. When a person's outside there and they're smoking pot and swearing and all that kind of stuff, I don't get after them. I tell them about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, I'm trusting, will, when they get saved, will change that. But if I see a Christian do that, and I have, I've gone up to the Christian and say, look at brother, you know, that's a bad testimony, you know? I mean, I love you. I really do. I really love you. You know, we've been friends for 30 years. But don't you think you should not do that? Because it will lead young Christians. This happens all the time. We are to be accountable. This is against a society, of course, because we ask the question, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, we are our brothers and sisters' keepers. I'm responsible for you and you're responsible for me. So important. Mind your own business, they say today. That's what they're saying to us. Mind your own business. People will say that to me how many times? But when we receive rebuke, when we receive exhortation, accept it. Accept it. And mull over it and ask God, God, should I change this? Should I change that? Should I not go there? Thank God for our brothers and sisters who do come and encourage us. The Bible tells us very distinctly, it isn't my responsibility to judge others, but it certainly is my responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. Are you with me? That's biblical. Here's another verse for you. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, others, so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has given power and produces wonderful results. Be accountable. Find somebody your own age and your own sex and meet with them for once a week. I do that. I'm accountable to Ian McDougall. Ian and I get together on Tuesday morning at IHOP, and they didn't pay me to give that announcement. We go to IHOP, and we sit down, and we just talk. Years ago, we talked about Cascades and how we can do this. Now we're both sort of retired. But we talk about Jesus. We talk about our life. And he's accountable to me, and I'm accountable to him. And then we stop in front of his house. We turn the motor off, and we pray. Same age, same sex, same mentality. Find somebody that you can be accountable to. It's so important. If your brother rebukes him and he repents, forgive him. That is so important. That is so important. We have to be freely forgive. Forgive. I have trouble with that. I can forgive, but it's hard for me to forget. So I'm going over this in my own head too. We have to forgive and we have to try to forget. Make an allowance for each other's fault and forgive one another who offend you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. How many people in the churches today, they go to church and they sit down in church and they don't talk to the person beside them because they're mad at them? I've seen that many, many times. But forgive that person. If it's your responsibility, even if you didn't offend them or they didn't offend, your responsibility to talk it over with them. What seems to be the problem, brother? What seems to be the problem, sister? What can I do to make this amends? Did I do something? We're a family. I know families that don't, brothers and sisters don't talk, and it's getting worse all the time. Instead, be kind to each other. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ, God through Christ, has forgiven us. Beautiful verses. We are to grow. We are to bear fruit. We are to increase in our faith, and we can do that together. Juntos, togetherness. We can do it. And I won't go into the story, but I love the story of Moses when he was lifting his hands up with brother on each side of him, helping hold his hands up. And that's what we should be doing, helping to hold each other's hands up also. Obey. Obedience to God is an expression of our love for Christ. That is so important, so important. And then later on downstairs, we're going to be talking. We are to humble ourselves. He humbles us. He softens us. And one more, he helps us. He'll do that for you. He'll do that. Faith that sees results. Put your faith in God. Be thankful. And we're going to be talking about the 10 lepers in the next meeting. But the thing, God does not call us to be successful. He calls us to be faithful. May God bless each and every one of you. And may this message, and as you reread it at home and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, may it jump out of the pages and maybe even bite you. It gets me sometimes. Father God, we thank you for these wonderful people, and we just pray for all the different activities that will be going on today. Use us, guide us, and direct us, and help us to love one another, help one another, encourage one another, and help build up one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.